Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
You got it, dude.
I got it, dude.
Olsen twin? I don't know.
The home of the podcast where the Bruins stink right now and the Celtics do not.
Celtics do not stink right now.
No.
Can confirm. Saw it in person.
Yes. We are going to have to get into that a little bit here. No episode last week. We've been getting ready for the holiday season, and we've both been working a ton and traveling and doing a bunch of stuff. So we were off last week, but we are back. We are excited to talk about, well, I don't know. I don't really know how excited I am to talk about the Bruins because I have issues. I have major issues right now, but we will talk about it, and it's going to be a lot more fun.
At one point, you saw a really cool game, but it's almost like not worth talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we'll touch on the trip a little bit to New Jersey and New York, but it's been a pretty rough handful of games here for the Bruins, and I think it's going to be a lot more fun to talk about the Celtics today. But anyways, let's get into it. Let's start with the happy. You just hit the Clippers Celtics game, and they've been on a tear right now, regardless of who's in the lineup, it seems.
Yes, that's the big part.
That's the huge thing when you look at this team and you're like, they finally have some depth. And obviously we've talked about, like, they still are missing maybe a piece to really make you feel more comfortable, I guess. Like, we're now talking about luxury at this point. But yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. How was the game?
Oh man, it was great. You know, we figured we wouldn't see Porzingis. We didn't see Porzingis. I'm cool, man. He's got a twisted ankle. He's got a calf strain. None of these are the scary Porzingis injuries we've heard of. And, you know, I've said on here, like, I do think we need him to win more than I think anyone really thought. But I'm cool with the rest them up. If we can see him against the Lakers, great, but don't force it. And like, that's the camp I'm in with the Porzingis. Cool moment yesterday, before the end of the first half, he headed back to the locker room during a commercial break and just looked like he was like, I was like far side in a suite, but could see him doing it, obviously, because he's a 7'3" mammoth with an even bigger suit on, just like a loose, like 90s, like Fresh Prince style giant baggy suit. Excuse me. And looked like he was the mayor, you know, and we're in Los Angeles. He's waving to like 10 different, everyone's screaming at him as he's going to the locker room. So that was pretty cool to see. Shout out to Kata. Yesterday, what we all realized, and I was there with a bunch of diehards, my diehard Celtics crew out here. What we realized is, you know, we always will have love for Daniel Tyson. Yes, he had a solid game, but how about our guy Kata? My God, double double. It's 12 rebounds, 6 of them offensive. Just awesome stuff out of the young two-way big man, 7-footer for us, especially with Cornette down and obviously with no Porzingis. Tatum dropped 30 points in 3 quarters. Is that good? Jaylen Brown looked good. Al looked good. Derek White is making a case to be an all-star. And if you don't understand that, it's because you only look at points scored. And you should look at other statistics because there's more to basketball than that. Yesterday was awesome, man. It was just to score 145 points without Kristaps Porzingis and 144 points without Jason Tatum. It's hard to find things to be upset about, and we're pretty nitpicky on this podcast, but I really don't have much about yesterday. Sam Hauser had a bad game yesterday. With, like, I'm going to call Sam out. We need Sam every week. Pritchard looked good. Brissett, I think they figured out the wing. I think they figured out the order of the wings here. And, you know, Danilo Banton got like a start recently, and he didn't come in until the very end of the game. I saw J.D. Davis in minutes. I'll take that. I'll take some last year's draft pick two-way player, see how he's doing. But yeah, Banton shouldn't be coming in over Brissett or Lamar Stevens. They're both experienced and successful in this league. Banton, not as much. And I think they need some room to fit into the system and some time to fit into the system. And I think the more time that they're getting, the better they're looking.
They love to give Peyton Pritchard new nicknames, don't they?
What do they got now?
It was West Coast P. It was like Slippery P. They just kept going with different names.
Is it the new guy?
It must be.
I like him though.
Yeah. It's just funny that they just keep going back and forth being like, oh, West Coast P, when he's out here, he's going off, he's dropping threes, and, you know.
He's home. I mean, I'll give him that. I mean, he's not home until he's in Portland, but he's home-ish.
You're right. I just thought it was funny, and he played really well in that Kings game.
Yeah.
As did everyone else, obviously. You don't drop 144 and, you know, really have many players on your team playing poorly, so.
Five guys with 20 points, first time since 1987. Four of those five guys are in the Hall of Fame. Is that good?
It sounds like a good stat, honestly.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got to see a good game, or a stomping, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it was not a good game.
Right.
By any sense of the word, but I had a lot of fun and was happy I saw it. You can't be mad at that. You always want to see a good game. But you never hate to see what you saw yesterday.
Yeah. How do you feel? I mean, obviously with these last two games I don't want to say that it was like, none of it was luck. Obviously there's so much skill on this team. They're doing what they need to do and they're doing it and they're making it look easy against like Sacramento's no joke.
Well, I want to really dig into the Sacramento game because
yeah.
what it was is and we, you know, we'd be remiss to not mention the overtime loss to the Warriors, which was a hell of a game, very disappointing result, but just like kind of hard to, I don't know. A lot of people hate Steph Curry. I don't understand it. It's incredible. Even when he beats you again and again and again, it's just like. You can't help but marvel at it. And that dagger three in overtime was unbelievable.
And that's vintage Steph Curry right there.
Exactly. And so we're like, we're full lineup there. And essentially full lineup there. Blow a 17-point lead, lose in overtime. Travel, granted, you know, from San Francisco to Sacramento, it's like an hour drive. But still, a back-to-back is a schedule loss. We're informed that we're going to not have Tatum and Porzingis, was it?
Was that game? I thought he played, no?
No, Porzingis did play.
Yeah.
No, Tatum, no, Al, I think it
right,
was.
Right.
So we're informed we have no Tatum, no Al on the back-to-back. And we proceed to stomp the Kings, who are not off a back-to-back, who are at home, and who are very good. Very good at basketball. They're
good
at football too. You gotta, dude. I see. That's the deep YouTube. You gotta get in there, watching NBA teams play flag football. Sick.
That's gonna be next year's All Star game for sure. The Pro Bowl is just gonna be like, we're gonna have an MLB team versus an NBA team.
They gotta hang up the Pro Bowl. They really do. That's a conversation for, I don't know.
That's a whole
episode.
Bit
or another day. Yeah. It's just, they really gonna hang it up. No, who wants this?
Flag football?
Oh, man. Did you see him juke him so hard he couldn't grab his flag?
Whoa.
Yeah. I saw like little Timmy do that when I was in second grade, too. And yeah, I'm talking about myself in third person. I was a freaking stud on the flag football court. Is it a court? It's not a field.
You are hurting. You're hurting on the terms today.
Yeah, I hate terms.
I like it. I like that you. They're interchangeable. Why do they
terms,
not play on a field?
Yeah, proper terms are for squares. Also, we played indoors because we're weird, and it's New Hampshire.
That's true. That's true.
And it was probably winter.
Did you ever?
So it was a court.
Did you ever play t-ball in? On the court, like in the gym, with like the dodgeball balls before.
Yeah,
it was weird.
But
it was
what
like,
did you?
You had to like
I
hit
can't
it off.
We
of
used
a,
to hit it because it wasn't like a. metal bat, I don't think. Were you guys hitting it with metal bats?
No, it was like a plastic. It was like a wiffle ball bat, but like one of those.
It's something that like you couldn't really blast it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it like nerfed it.
Man. New England.
Yeah, we did that a little bit. And then it was that, and it was the scooters you sit on.
Oh, my
God. As if we were all playing Russian roulette with our fingers.
Yeah. How many times do you think you've ran over your fingers on those things?
Oh, man. Only a few, because it was truly my nightmare. It was that and quicksand were like my greatest fears when I was under 10 years old.
And neither of them really got me. Scooters and quicksand.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I'm not even afraid of quicksand anymore, but I'm not getting on one of those scooters.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. I'll say it again. I'm not even scared of quicksand anymore. How'd he die? It was a mudslide. So, like, basically quicksand got
but
him?
Wet?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyways.
Shout out to Jim. Yeah, that win just can't be undersung. That Kings win is, like, win of the year so far to me. No Tatum, no problem.
Let's also talk about that game where it was both teams just crushing threes in the first half.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun game.
We can shoot with the rest of them for sure. Like, if someone wants to do that, we'll play that game. I just like that it really doesn't feel like the premier part of our game. It's when we win the most, but that's just obvious. That's literally math. Obviously,
right, right.
We win the most when we make the basket that's 1.5 more than the normal basket. Like, it's just duh. Of course that happens. I think we can kind of hang with anyone any type of way. And I'm just really happy that we're not a team that needs to shoot threes to win.
Right.
We got to shoot threes to beat certain teams because there's certain teams that shoot threes to win. But if our 3-point shooting is off, we can find other ways to do it.
For sure.
But again, if it's off, it's like only two guys are hitting. Like, off is not off because there's so many good shooters on this team.
I agree. I think that I don't know. I'm with you. You can't really understate how big of a win that was. I would imagine just for confidence purposes, like to beat a team that's great and beat them like that, which they put up a good fight too. I mean, it wasn't like we blew them out by. They scored over 100 as well. So,
yeah,
it was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to win that game.
Yeah.
And it's a healthy Kings team. Yeah. No, sick win. Great win yesterday, too. But, maybe people are listening. They're like, the Clippers isn't a big win. Aren't they sick right now? They are. Clippers have figured it out. Say what you want about James Harden. He's not a problem. Things have been figured out there.
There was no
Kawhi Leonard yesterday. I wish I got to see a full Kawhi Leonard Clippers team here. Even if we didn't have KP, I'd like to size that up. And I just think, you know, I was curious, our homie Jesse, friend of the pod, traveler to San Jose, our boy, he was with me yesterday and we were watching and he was like, I really didn't see this happening. And I said, I didn't see it happening, but without Kawhi, I wondered,
yeah.
You know, because it's like, that's their, first of all, he is the team right now. Yes, James Harden's made himself useful, and Paul George is Paul George. But Kawhi Leonard looks like Kawhi Leonard of, like, 2018 or 2019 when he, went to Toronto for a year and won them a friggin' ring. He looks pretty damn good. So, I think we get the Clippers at home at some point. It'll be interesting to see that matchup. And how we shake out, because the West is open. And I think it'd be completely unrealistic to say that the Clippers aren't someone we could see down the road if we make it that far. So,
how do you feel going into the Lakers game? Like, what's your prediction or expectation for that game?
I just hope it's been circled. I really want to show up. I really want to win that game. It's a day built for LeBron. As we're coming down to very few Christmas LeBron games left. You know, any one of them could be the last. Not being dark, just being factual.
Well, he's not going to die.
No, he's not. But
he's just going to be out of the league.
Right. Well, kind of until he owns Vegas.
True.
But yeah, I just hope we've had it circled. I think it's going to be a really good game. The Lakers, I think the Lakers are bad. I don't think that's a hot take anymore. Like, I don't think they're a serious threat. I mean, it's LeBron, so like you can never look away, and there's always some sort of potential for something. But I think this is a play-in round team, maybe a six seed. I'll be really surprised if they have home court in the West. And again, I don't think the West is that strong. But yeah, I know this is a game that the Lakers have had circled. So I want to see if the Celtics show up. You know, I'll be interested to see who's playing. I would think Tatum's going to be good to go since we can't, because again, he had 30 through three, and we could have sat our starters very early in the third quarter. It was like a 30-point game with 9 minutes left in the third. Just really, really a beat down. Like, none of the game yesterday was a good game. We beat the hell out of him. So I would hope with keeping Tatum in and letting him shoot around, we're going to be good to go there. Again, I'm fine without Porzingis. I want to win that game.
I want to hear your thoughts on this LeBron tweet that you probably already saw, but he tweeted,
I don't know,
this,
man. It's hard to keep up with his social media shit these days.
He tweeted this yesterday, and it said, "Why do players have to be retired before going into the Hall of Fame? Coaches get in while still coaching, rightfully so. Wondering what's the difference, though." Like, I just, this is the stuff that drives me insane about LeBron. It's like, you can't argue his talent. You can't argue what he's done in the league and what he's done for the league and all of that stuff that we've already talked about plenty of times in the past. But like, what is the point of making this thing? It's because he's like, look at me, I should be in the Hall of Fame already. It's like, you are a first ballot Hall of Famer without question. There is not even anybody on the planet that would argue that. Like, why do you need to say something like that when it's already a guarantee? It's, to me, it just makes him look more self-centered and like he looks like a moron.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think if anyone can start this conversation, it's LeBron James, obviously. Like, even like frustratingly so, like he can come out and start this. But to start it in the season, like, I'd be pissed if I was a Lakers fan and he's talking about that shit. It's like, hey, bro, we're 1-5 in our last six. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Screw your Hall of Fame. Do you care about this team right now? Like, why don't you make that argument even stronger that you should have been let in 4 years ago and win again now? Like, this is silly. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, and listen, again, I don't get it either. And it's right. Fine. Why are we talking about it? This is the middle of the season. Like, the things are about to gear up and your team sucks right now.
Right.
And you're talking about that shit. I'd be pissed. But, like, you know, to call a spade, I don't get why they don't get in. And, yeah, if anyone should be in right now actively, it's LeBron James.
Sure.
Maybe,
but
Kevin Durant. Maybe this. Maybe Steph Curry should be in already. I don't know. I don't get the player parameters. I think there's something specific about the player thing and about statistics and about enshrining that person with a plaque that is finalized about career averages and about, you know, greatest things they've done without them going in and tweaking it and having to make another plaque. Coaches, I think you're just in and like that number will grow and they can put the end on it, or like, you know,
not to mention they also have to be like 60 something years old, I'm pretty sure, to be eligible to even be put into the Hall of Fame if they're still coaching. Like, it's not like, you know, they could put in somebody that is the same age as one of the players that are playing right now. I think that's another thing.
And coaches' careers can last triple of like your average NBA player, even a Hall of Famer. You know, Pop's been at this for so long now. And I think he's already in, which he obviously should be. But like, it's funny we bring this up. We were at the game yesterday. Jerry West is up for Hall of Fame. Jerry West is in the Hall of Fame three other ways already, I think.
Wow.
He's the logo for anyone who's not aware. He's in as a coach, and I believe he's already in as a GM. And now he's nominated for consultant because he's been a consultant for like 10 years. And he was a consultant on all the Warriors teams that won. And now he's a Clippers consultant. So he was in attendance yesterday. Pretty cool to see Jerry West get a shout out and wave to the crowd yesterday.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's always nice to see the logo. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's in another time. And yeah, he's an active consultant. I don't know. I'll be honest. And I don't know if this like completely strips me of any sort of credibility in basketball fandom. I've never been to the Naismith Hall of Fame. I don't know what it looks like. I was like eight, or like, I don't know, in sixth grade, like 12. I don't know. I barely remember it there. I would think that it's like way cooler what they do for players who get in than coaches, staff, anything else. And the way that they enshrine those players, it would be weird, or it would be extra work for them to have to do it again to actually finalize statistics or placards or whatever the case may be.
But that's just it. I honestly don't think it really matters. He just wants to be able to say, well, I was the first player to ever get inducted into the Hall of Fame as a player, like while I was still actively playing. It's only about LeBron. He only cares about himself when it comes to like achievements and stuff. And that's why he's not focusing on getting the team back on track and getting them where they need to be, where, you know, he's been playing, from what I have heard and what I've seen, he's been playing fine. It's just the team isn't very good. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But
I think he's taking a day off a week kind of thing.
Like, yeah.
I think LeBron is geared to preserve his career and his body to not just play with Bronny, but to play with Bryce. And Bryce is a junior in high school, a sophomore in high school, so a few years away. And I think you're going to see a very Brady-like LeBroning, where he's 42 and saying shit like, I feel younger than ever. You know, and yeah. In basketball, it's going to be a clear difference. You know, NFL quarterback can kind of make the same moves. Brady can do these weird diets and stuff. Explosion, you think, is going to disappear at some point. But if there's a guy who's maybe not going to lose his explosiveness, wouldn't you probably put your money on LeBron James?
Yeah, he's
like, it's just like it's still a freak thing that the way he dunks now is the way he dunked when he was 18. It's crazy.
It's going to end up being a situation where it's like he's just there on the court. He's just there to play. Like, he's not there to be at this elite level that he's playing at currently, or, you know, the last handful of years here. It's going to be, he's going to be able to be on the court and playing with these guys, but he's not going to be, you know, there'll be a game here or there where he puts up a bunch, but it's not going to be an every night thing where he's like the LeBron James that everybody knows. And he's just going to be there to be able to play with his kids. And, you know, it'll be cool to see. I mean, I'm not even, as much as we hate on LeBron, as much as we've, you know, argued about who's the best and who's not, you can't argue with statistics on a lot of stuff. And, you know, it'll be cool to see him be able to play with his son. I mean, that's just a cool thing that you'd want to see any player be able to do. But I don't think that it's going to be the LeBron James of now when we get to that point. And I know that that's an obvious statement because it'll be a few years away, but I mean, we've already seen him slow down a little bit from where he has been previously. So I don't know. We'll see.
We all say that slope's very slippery and very steep. I'm just purely curious what it's going to look like. The decline of LeBron James is going to be very interesting because he wants to play with his sons. Because you would think a guy like this is never going to come off the bench, but when you see that he wants to play with his sons, and like, yeah, maybe he still never comes off the bench. Maybe like the worst version of LeBron James is still better than like 20 starters in the NBA or 30 starters in the NBA. It's going to be different, and we're going to see a version of him that. From here, I think falls off. Like I just think with what he wants to do and just father time, I got to believe in father time, even though we doubted it with Brady. Again, I cannot put NFL quarterback and NBA superstar in the same pocket of athleticism. It's just a stupid thing to do. Like, please argue with us with that. I'll DM for 4 days on how that's the most moronic thing I've ever said. I just cannot fathom seeing LeBron not fall off. In some way between now and Bronny, and then if he sticks around till Bryce, between him and Bryce, and it's going to be significant. And it's just like, it's awesome because he wants to play with his kids. But yeah, it's there's going to be like a weird sadness to it. I really
think
it's going
to be like Ovechkin, where he just stands at the dot and they give him the puck and he shoots it. You know,
yeah.
He's gonna
Ovi, I think, is a little too slowed down.
Yeah,
already
for sure.
The Ovi one got sad
quick
this year. Yeah, it's just like it was still fun last year. I thought he was going to come out ripping twice as hard, and it's like, no, it's going to take twice as long from now for him to actually catch. And
if he's lucky,
like knocking on his door. Yeah. They might not do it now, man.
Yeah.
But the Capitals have nothing else to do but to just keep letting him try it for the next 3 years. So
sure.
Why not?
Also, before we wrap up on LeBron here and move on to hockey, I just want to say again that Space Jam 2 sucks, by the way. Just for the record. I'm just...
Yeah. IP can't save shit. I just think, dude, ultimately it's just like, shut up. Why are you talking about that right now? It's December.
Yeah, it's weird.
You talk about that in the first week of the season. It's like, okay, I still don't get where your head's at. But it's worse to do it later. It's a perfect off-season discussion.
Yeah.
And also just like, yeah, you only want it for you. But I'm sure if you got him to talk, you'd get him to say, it's like, oh, come on. You're going to tell me CP3's not in with me? You're going to tell me Durant's not in with me?
Steph Curry, it's not the argument.
You're trying to open Pandora's box just to put yourself in there, and it's going to become a mess for everyone else. Shut up. Shut up and try to make your team win. You got a big game today.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Let's get into hockey here a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into this because I'm very frustrated with the Bruins team, and also I'm really hoping that this little mini Christmas break, which is not a long time, but this little break will kind of get them back on track and sort of get their heads right, spend some time with family, and you know, enjoy the time off and get, you know, as Montgomery was saying last night, get back to work and get back to basics and try to figure out what the problems are and how to get back into the win column, because the Bruins are not looking good. I would go as far as saying they haven't looked great for 10 games or so. They just, they're struggling. Their offensive struggles are real. Their defensive struggles are very real. And the goaltending is the only thing that's keeping them in games. But it's not allowing them to win games because we're not getting any, you know, offensive production to take advantage of the fact that the goalies are only letting up one or two or a couple goals here and there. They're doing everything they can. Watching these games, it's been made very clear that we could be losing by five every single game because these guys are keeping us in it, keeping us, giving us a shot. And it's just very, very frustrating to go like, you know, halfway through the games or two thirds of the way through the game and have 9 shots on net or 10 shots. Like, it's just not acceptable. So these last handful of games have not been very good. We've played some good teams, which is, I guess, the only bright side, I guess you could say, if you're going to look at a loss as a positive. But they're just not really showing up where they should be, and it's very clear that they're either exhausted or they just don't have what we thought they had. And, you know, the benefit of all of this is that we started out really hot. We're still at the top of our division, but that's not going to be like that for very long. You know, I'd rather slump now than later, but they got to figure this out quick. And I don't know if you've been watching many of these games, but it's been painful.
Yeah, it's teeth pulley.
It's just like everything that would frustrate you is what's happening. The passing is terrible. The turnovers are awful. Staying out of the penalty box is basically out of question at this point.
Not a thing. Yeah. Not a thing that this team does.
Right.
That is just it's beyond me how fucking undisciplined this team is. It's brutal.
And then the guys that you really need to step up and take the game into their hands is like Pasta and all these guys like Marchand, and they're not really scoring. Yes, Pasta scored against Minnesota, and you know, he still leads the team in goals and whatnot, but We're not really getting
right, but anything. We saw this writing on the wall, dude. It sucks that we need those two to score or we're not good. Like, right. It sucks. And, like, JDB kind of relit, like, reignited a bit, and then he's gone back to the beginning of the season. And you know, we're all very stoked on, oh my gosh, Giant Blake. Our new favorite addition of the year, not a rookie.
JVR?
No. Oh my gosh. I think we had him last year. We got him at the deadline last year. The Devils guy, wasn't it?
Oh, you're talking about Morgan Geeky?
No. Geeky was from Seattle. What the hell? Right. He's on Zaka. The line with Zaka. Pasta. Zaka, yeah. Like, Zaka's been big. I wanted to say Howla. I was like, no.
Well, that was the one-for-one trade, Zaka for Howla.
Yeah, there you go. I had who we sent. This team doesn't have guys who can score. I was hoping Geeky was going to kind of come in and have a quiet, like, maybe 20-goal year. No.
He's been playing very consistently, though, recently. I'm a big fan.
Geeky's not a problem. Yeah, Geeky's not a problem. Exactly. I'm just saying we're not getting goal scoring from anyone who isn't named David Pastrnak or Brad Marchand, and that's a huge fucking problem.
Yeah.
Huge problem. And I don't see it coming from somewhere else right now. Like, I don't see anyone exploding out. Like, these rookies have done more than we can expect of them early on, and I think they've kind of stifled a bit because the league knows about them now, and that's all expected. You know?
Yeah, we need someone to step up and start. You know, somebody needs to get hot, and that's exactly what they were hoping for from a guy like DeBrusk, and he has not done anything.
JDB has been very quiet. We're JDB fans on this pod, but this is a brutal one. This is our fear actualized. I don't know what they do at the deadline. I don't like what do we want from this, Andrew? Like, we're turning into the team we thought we were going to be. We've been excited to be a team that we didn't expect to be. But we both know that this is kind of a bridge year. So, like, what do you want to do with the bridge? You want to see how many people it can hold before it falls in the water?
So,
like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here other than ride it out.
What I would
unless
like
the piece you can add that won't shake up whatever Sweeney's got it up his sleeves for next year.
I think that whatever you do at the deadline, like, if they were going to make a big splash, I think it would have to be a guy that
which you don't think they were going to do, right?
I don't, but what I was going to say is I think that it would have to be a guy that they're going to keep long term. So, like, say they were to go
exactly.
after,
yeah,
they were going to make a trade that was going to be a guy that they were able to extend, and he was part of their future plans. But that also would require the team that's willing to get rid of him to get rid of whoever that person is. So, I don't know. I know there's been a lot of talk about Elias Lindholm from Calgary. Scheifele, obviously, they talked about him in the offseason, but then he decided to ride it out with Winnipeg for now. So, I don't know. It really depends. I would like to see either of those guys because I think that they're solid additions, especially down the center position that we desperately need. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting because I don't think that they have the ability to – they definitely don't have the ability to go all in. So that's not really a thing. They need to sort of try to make a trade that will benefit them now and in the future.
You need a bridge trade. It's a bridge trade and a bridge year.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't exist, I don't want to see a single expiring contract brought in.
Right.
And I definitely don't want to hear, oh, but they really think they have a good shot. Like, after Bertuzzi, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I don't want to fucking fall in love with a guy who's just a night, who's just like here for the night. I'll see you. I'll be in Toronto tomorrow. Like, it's just right. Like, yeah, you could talk about how Bertuzzi thinks he made the wrong decision and he's coming back. Shut up. That has nothing to do with the point I'm making. He's not here now.
Right. That's the only point.
Let's not get rid of legitimate people to have people who are not going to be here. It's just like, what are we doing? So if there's a bridge trade out there, great. If there's a shed contracts to be even better in the offseason, I'm kind of down. Like, I know we're still at the top right now, but this sucks. And I think this is the team. And you said this to me in an earlier slump we had. We kind of turned it around, but I think this is the team.
Yeah, that's the concerning thing.
I think it is. And listen, I don't really want to shake too much stuff up because we got some rookies who are looking pretty damn good, and I'd rather give them 82 games to figure shit out. And it's just like, to be honest, and I didn't even expect to go here today, but like, you know, the Centennial has been great. And a lot of that was like, we're excited to see Marshawn be a captain, and that's been cool. And then some of that was like, Lucic is back, and that's kind of dark. And like, I'm going to get back there for some Centennial games. It's just like, it's the same thing that you could do anything 82 nights a year. It's just like, it had its moment. I'm okay with this year being whatever it is. I'm okay with missing the playoffs almost, as long as it means that we come out swinging in the off season. Like I want to get better, but I want to get meaningfully better. And last year just left such a bad taste in my mouth with all the guys that we brought in who are gone.
Yeah. I think
I don't want rentals again. Like, why are we doing rentals for what we thought and what would end up being Patrice Bergeron's final go? Makes sense. What are we doing rentals for now? We can't. Like, we cannot do that.
I'm going to go back to, I mean, the only way that we could do a rental is if it's for, let's, you know, like a late pick, fifth round, whatever it is. Like, say somebody wants to shed some tough player that we're willing to take onto our roster to put on the fourth line to be tough. Because that's another thing that we're desperately missing, which we were talking about Lucic, and we were so psyched about him being back this year because of his physicality alone, not because of his offensive skill, which we didn't really think that he had much left of anyway. But it's very clear that we're missing something like that in our roster now. McAvoy is getting hurt like almost every single game. Grizzlick is hurt again. All these guys are getting really banged up that are taking the hits. And shout out Jacob Lauko for just fighting all the time and hitting and playing well and bring energy to
the
team.
One of the toughest guys on the team and maybe in the league. And it's funny too, because he's just like he just has younger brother vibes, just as a human.
Yeah,
he's a tough SOB.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, man. Every time that he's out there, it's like he's kind of acting like a wrecking ball. He's just going around smashing into whatever's in the way and trying to make some energy, whether it's him scoring or not, which hasn't been very often this year. But just getting the energy up, I think, is what's really helpful for this team, especially those lower two lines. And he definitely got the Garden rocking the other night, I'll tell you that, with that fight.
He's awesome. Long live Lauko in black and gold.
So yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to go back to my original expectation for this year and my original hope for this year. My hope is that we make the playoffs. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's the second wild card spot or if it's the first. You know, I don't want to be we're not going to win the President's Trophy. That's just a fact. I mean, I don't think that that's even going to be an option at this point. But I just want to make the playoffs and see what happens. Because I love the underdog. I love being the team that nobody expects to win. So if we can make it in, and that's where it ends up, where we can do some damage, kind of like whatever a team that I won't say the name of did to other teams last year, like the Bruins, but I won't name them, did, then I would like to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know, ceiling's a strong word for that, but I do think that's kind of our hope here.
Just make the playoffs and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to. Anyone can get hot. A hot goaltender can get you far. So it really depends. I just want to get in there. I just want to make it. I want to see what happens and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. I'm with you, man. I don't know. The roster's fun to watch. It's just like, can we put pucks on that? That's literally exactly all I'm asking.
Yep.
Same results, cool. I just need them to actually save shots rather than we just don't put them up.
Yeah, you're not even making them work at that point.
Like, no.
Like, make them work. They
made a team work in three games.
Yeah.
They haven't made a team work in three games, man.
Yeah.
They pretended to yesterday with scoring first, but then it was never scored again.
I mean, they dominated the first period, and then they completely fell off. Like, almost they went back to exactly what they've been the last handful of games, and that is a losing formula, and that is why they lost. The team took advantage of it, and they won the game, and obviously that's how the game works. When they see what your flaws are and they see that you're not taking shots or, you know, making it easy for them, then they're going to take advantage. And it's tough to watch, but make these teams work. And hopefully this break will really get them, you know, fresh and ready to go for the handful of games coming up here. And I don't know.
Yeah, stop making it obvious. I mean, it's obvious that we're a defensive team, and then it's obvious that if we're down a defenseman, you already have the advantage. Like, let's trick some of these teams and show that we can be a team that puts 30 pucks on a goaltender in a given night.
Yeah.
But that's just my idea.
Well, with that, I will say, you know, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you guys for listening to us for another year. And I think we may have one episode left before the end of the year here. Our next episode will be coming out next year. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast every week. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Go Celtics, beat the Lakers. That's all we want. That's what I want for Christmas.
Beat LA. That's what I want for Christmas.
Yeah.
I want to shout out the two teams that we don't cover and wish them nothing but the worst.
Just okay, ever. Okay. I thought we were going in a different direction.
No. The Boston Red Sox, who are notably now a farm league for the New York Yankees. Did you hear the Yamamoto quote?
Yes.
You did? It is the exemplary ownership of the Red Sox quote I've ever heard. We're in on Yamamoto, so you'll get in a bidding war for him. No, we don't get in bidding wars. So you're out on Yamamoto.
Jesus.
It's ridiculous. Shout out to Bill Belichick, who's probably just gonna try to win tonight for no reason. Yeah. I think we should sell these other teams in New England.
I agree.
At least they're owners. Oh, Kraft didn't do anything. Anyways.
No, I love Kraft.
Get better Porzingis. Everyone get healthy. Let's see what we got in the new year.
Definitely.
It's all systems go once January 1st hits, so let's rock.
I'm excited. Let's get a fresh start here and, you know, at least for the Bruins, and the Celtics need to just keep rolling, and I think that's what's going to happen. So go C's, go B's, and happy holidays.